We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
I feel like there's this, like, he's the avatar for disciplinarian manager. People are like, yeah, these pamper babies, they need Joe Girardi to go in there and scream at them. I don't even know if Joe Girardi screams at people.
You're going to hold them accountable.
Right.
Then continue to let them play.
Right. I'm going to hold you accountable, John Lester.
I declare bankruptcy!
When am I pitching next? On your schedule, in the next 4 days.
Hey, I just wanted you to know that you can't just say the word bankruptcy and expect anything to happen.
I didn't say it. I declared it. Still.
I am going to hold you accountable, Addison Russell. Okay, we're going to send you to the minors. But then when Javi gets hurt, we're going to need you to come back so you can play shortstop. Ian Happ, we're going to hold you accountable. All right, fine. Who's going to play second? We don't know, but somebody will do it. It'll be Descalso, him, that guy.
Make me a bicycle clown.
And as we said yesterday, Daniel Descalso did finish the season with a lower on-base plus slugging than John Lester. Welcome in. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a couple of great guests for you today from our own staff. Is Grody going to be in studio or is he at Hallis Hall? No, he'll be on the phone or at the Starbucks.
It's a bit of a commute from London.
Oh, he's already there? Oh, I thought that the Starbucks that he put the video from. Oh, damn. I didn't know that. Fantastic. We're going to talk with Mark Grody before he heads out for dinner in London. We'll do that coming up in about 20 minutes. Matt Spiegel is going to be here in studio with me, and I have assigned Matt Spiegel a particular team to talk about. I want to talk to him about your Chicago White Sox.
Don't stop believing.
So we are going to do kind of a season in review with Spiegs, the host of Hit and Run, about the White Sox. So if you wanted your White Sox coverage, you're going to get it at 1 o'clock.
Are we allowed to stop believing for like the week after the season's over?
Yeah, this is probably a good time to. No, you know what? Like, I feel like going out of the season, you probably believe a little bit more. The time to stop believing was the beginning of August.
I mean, isn't there like a refractory period, though?
Well, that's what I'm saying, because you were believing up until the All-Star break because they were 42 and 44.
It's not the point of the song. Don't stop.
And then you looked up. And it was like September, and you're like, they still only have 60 wins? Wait a minute. What happened? Why have they been stuck on 60 wins?
Don't stop believing.
Woo! And then they ended up doing all right.
And they fired Todd Steverson.
They did fire Todd Steverson. Trick. They fired him. The hitting coach was the problem. You had guys having great years on the hitting side.
White Sox tradition.
I can't be mad at Todd Steverson because Adam Engel can't hit. Can I? Am I allowed to?
Does all the bunting go to him?
Don't you start with me. Look, I did a podcast yesterday with Herbie about the White Sox right before, like, we put it up right before Steverson got fired. We ended up going down a rabbit hole of talking about bunting and Ricky Renteria. It's worth your time. It's the Loho Daily from yesterday. It's worth your time because we both got really mad. And I'll talk with Spiegel about this in probably more measured tones than I would with me and Herbie just trapped in a room talking about the White Sox.
But for right now,
don't stop believing.
Woo! So Matt Spiegel is going to join me at 1 o'clock to talk about the White Sox. Okay? And I'm going to try not to get mad. I can't tell you.
The Sox and the Bulls, man.
I can tell you this. The one thing that I did say on the pod, and I will stand by it, the time for White Sox patience is now over for me. I don't know about anyone else, but I'm not sitting here like, no, 2021. No, fam. We were promised jetpacks, and the jetpacks better arrive here next year. That's all I'm saying.
Careful with the wanting of jetpacks. We wanted Bears jetpacks. We didn't get those.
You got it, and then you found out one of them was defective. I think. Maybe. We still honestly really don't know, but it has been 30 games. All right. Anyway, we are derelict in our duties. It's time for us to start the rundown.
Hey, you know what? Do you have a rundown that I could take a look at just so I know what type of rundown you're looking for?
Just keep it simple.
Keeping it simple. That's what I'm doing.
The rundown.
Here is your rundown for Thursday, October 3rd. Let's start in wild card action last night. There was never really a moment when I felt like Oakland had a chance against the Rays because the Rays just kept hitting home runs.
So Yandy Diaz is announced to lead things off for the Rays. Diaz with the ball well hit to right field. Laureano back. He looks up, and that one is gone. Yandy Diaz opens the top of the first with a solo home run.
It has, after all, been the year of the home run in Major League Baseball. To kind of add on to what Jason and Mike and Eduardo were talking about. Same swing, same ball, same result. Yandy Diaz did it again.
Highlight courtesy of ESPN yesterday. Was I the only one that was like, oh, look, Marcus Semien had a great year this year. And Avisaíl Garcia found some power.
Yeah, that was me. I was like, oh, Avi, look at him.
Yeah, you just realized that he was on the team.
On the team. Yeah, I was like, yeah, there
he is.
Like,
that's where Avi landed. Good for him.
You're saying they developed away from the Sox?
Look, we're not doing this.
Don't stop. Yeah!
We are not doing that today. Speak was going to come in here and set us straight about the future of your Chicago White Sox. Oh, great. Perfect. Let's talk about the Bulls. Perfect. Here's Wendell Carter Jr. talking about his ankle injury.
It was just a little, I stepped on someone's foot, just twisted a little bit, but I'm fine now.
You were able to go all
practice? Yeah, I was able to go all practice, yeah. Honest to God, right now it doesn't hurt at all. Like I stepped on someone's foot, the adrenaline was going, so it hurt it real bad at the moment, but, you know, this morning I felt good. I was walking around my crib good.
Okay. All right.
Captain Positive over here didn't even play the most positive Wendell Carter cut.
Which was?
The one where he talked about the surgery and how he'd had some pain from the time he was 15 years old, and this is the best he's felt since then.
Oh, okay. And he's got 6% body fat right now, so.
That's my guy, Wendell.
Well, you got him. You got him. Chris Dunn had some thoughts. All right, Tony, stop the music for a second. Do we really, in all honesty, need a Chris Dunn talking about the point guard competition? Because I feel like there are two guys that are going to play more point guard than he is.
I can guarantee you I know why it's in the rundown.
Okay. All right.
No. I want to say why, though.
Okay.
Because at the media day, who was the person that asked about the point guard competition to Jim Boylan?
Tony Gill.
He knows me better than I know myself. I didn't even know that.
Okay, all right, then let's put the music back up.
Oh, I'm not saying it's justified. I'm just saying that's why he did it.
Let's hear from Chris Dunn.
I think, you know, just going against each other is just going to make us better. You know, everybody on the team is talented. You know, the point guard position is talented. I think it's just overall it's just going to make us better.
Yeah, we probably could have done without it for future reference. And again, I think there's going to be two guys that are playing more point guard than Chris Dunn is going to be playing point guard. We'll see. The Bears leave tonight for London. That's what threw me off. I thought Grody was still here. They leave tonight for London. Roquan Smith practiced yesterday. He said that he's going to play. Here's what Matt Nagy said.
Yeah, so today he's going to be a full go for practice. And, that's definitely a good thing. And we're just, again, I'm going to keep going back to the personal side. And that's the issue that we're at right now. So we are happy that he will be full go today, and it's going to be more of a day-to-day thing for us with him.
Tell us what went into the decision to make him full go.
No, again, I'm not going to – I just – it's out of pure privacy on this subject matter, so I'm really not going to get into anything.
Is that a good indication of his ability to go Sunday, though?
Again, we'll see. You know, yeah, it's just a part of this process that we're in right now.
Are you okay with him being on the sideline for Sunday's game?
Just because of, you know, that's the decision that we made, you know. So it's again, personal, and it's that's where we're at. I'm not going to just keep going. The whole thing with Roquan, I know that – I'll say this, and I said it to you guys the other day. As far as understanding where y'all are coming from, I totally get that. But hopefully you guys can respect me and respect us and where we're at and how we're handling this thing. And there's some privacy to this, and that's all that we're asking. That's why I'm giving you the answers that you're getting. It's nothing personal for you guys or towards you guys, but it is a personal issue that we're going to leave it at that.
Can I help Matt Nagy at least on that last part? Here's the answer to that question. Why was he on the sideline? Because he's a member of our team and we support him. Period. Like, we thought the best thing for Roquan was to be on the sideline with us on Sunday, and that's why he was there. So, you know, whenever they want me to come help out at Halas, I can, for a consultant's fee, a large one. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk with our buddy Mark Grody, who will be joining us from London. We'll find out what he's seen, what he's hearing, who he's talking to. We got all sorts of great stuff coming up on the show today, including conversations about Cubs management, a piece of sound that I was hip to by Olin Krutz that I need to share with you, and White Sox chatter with Matt Spiegel. That's coming up at 1. More Bears conversation is coming up next. My name is Lawrence Holmes. The crew, Tony, Campy, we rock this from noon to 2 every day on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, hi, Mark.
The Bears are going to play Sunday in London. They're going to take on the Oakland Raiders. We haven't really spent a ton of time talking about the Raiders. I know that we'll do some breakdown. I mean, but they are the Bears' opponent. We should know something about them as the Bears head into that game.
Thank you for Mac.
Well, absolutely. Thank you for that. But they've been better. They're 2-2. They're better than people think they are.
They went to Indy and beat the Colts.
Yes. And they dominated that game for the most part. So I think
that would require Tony learning, and he's not interested.
We should pay some more, a little bit more, just a little bit, not a ton, but a little bit more respect to the Oakland Raiders. Let's go to London because our buddy Mark Grody is out there. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. Groats, how are you?
I am doing well. You know, Darren Waller is really good, the tight end for the Oakland Raiders. Your guy, Lauren, I assume he's your guy, the running back, Josh Jacobs, is pretty good. The rookie
Roll Tide.
Alabama, exactly.
Roll damn Tide, baby.
So they have what you call a couple of weapons. Derek Carr is not a great quarterback by any means, but he's efficient. 6 TDs to 3 picks. He's not going to go crazy on you necessarily, but there are some things to discuss as it pertains to the Oakland Raiders, whether we want to or not.
Yeah, I think that they're a more intriguing matchup than it may have looked like when this game was initially scheduled. So let me ask you, before we get into more of the serious stuff as it pertains to the Bears, I know that you threw on Twitter, you were trying to figure out, do Londoners like American accents? So far, What have you found out from your own experience? Because I think that you have the quintessential Midwestern accent, which a lot of media companies are looking for. I don't think that you're too Chicago-y. So I think that you represent the Midwest and the country very well. How's it going for you?
Well, so I have taken, let me just give you the quick rundown of my time here in London so far. I arrived, flew, let's see, what time was my flight? It was like last night. I got in this morning, 6 a.m. or so, and got to the hotel, took a long nap, got up, and took a walk. And I went down a street called Amba Street, which is sort of like a, I would say, I'd compare it to like a Michigan Avenue light or State Street, even in downtown Chicago. And I was just, I love listening to the English accent. So I was getting as close to people as I could, listening in on conversations to people. Lawrence, asking for directions that I didn't need from people, just so they would give me the accent. I did not notice anybody being particularly interested in what I and what I had to say, or taking note that I was American. But there was a lot of people that said cheers to me, which I thought was just absolutely lovely. But I felt like from putting that out on Twitter, from what I'm getting, the feedback from most people is that no, the Londoners or people in Great Britain don't really care about the American accent the way we enjoy the London accent.
So what's all right? So how does London look right now? Does it look like Chicago looked before the Bears-Packers kicked off, with a lot of NFL stuff just kind of there willy-nilly?
Nope. I haven't seen any NFL stuff, to be honest with you. You know, I'm at the team hotel. There are people walking around with, you know, bear gear on. I've seen that, but there has been very little sign, at least in the time that I've been here, that the NFL is here. And again, I have not walked too far off the perimeter as of yet. I have not explored enough. I'm going to do some more of that tonight, but I have not gotten a great NFL feel as of yet. You know, the team does arrive later tonight, and we'll see if after I venture off, if we get a little bit more of a feel of the NFL, because it's obviously it's much more niche-y here than it is back in the States.
All right, I'm going to go one more question, because the sidelines seem to be getting your signal out of London, so hopefully it'll make it through the rest of this question. What was it like this week to cover the Roquan Smith story?
It was, I don't know if I've ever been part of something like that where there was so little information coming out about it, especially considering that Roquan Smith is a budding star, close to like legitimate star on this Bears team, if not the entire NFL. And, you know, I'll just go back to the game really quickly. You know, we get the news, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours before the game that he's doubtful. And then we find out that he's not playing. Obviously, I'm down on the sideline. And I guess I was a little bit surprised to see Roquan Smith show up on the sideline from the very beginning of the game, considering the cryptic nature of what was going on. He was there. He was, you know, he seemed very present. He had the earpiece in the entire time, which not all players that are out necessarily have or have to. So he was engaged in the game. He was engaged with the players. He was right there for Dick Kwiatkowski whenever Kwiatkowski made a play. And then I fully expected, Lawrence, that we would have some sort of answer as to what had happened, you know, beyond the rumors that had persisted to some degree. And I thought, especially since those rumors were out there, that the Bears or that Roquan Smith would want to clear those things up. But I don't know if I've ever been involved in a situation where the information is so little and there's not even a lot floating around out there on what this potentially could be. And obviously we have to be careful with it, because if not a legal thing, then you have to be even more careful if it's like some sort of mental health issue that, you know, we should just leave him alone for, obviously. So it's been really interesting. I was there on today is what, Lawrence? Today is Thursday?
Today is Thursday. Yes.
Thursday. Thank you. It's very tricky for me right now. I was there Tuesday. They had the open locker room, and Roquan Smith came out made a quick appearance, went backstage again, came out again, then went back. And then yesterday, obviously, as you know, and everybody knows, he did speak. He didn't say a lot, and he remained very tight-lipped about everything that was going on. So I guess from an organizational standpoint, the Bears have done very good in keeping to that company line and giving us absolutely nothing on what may or may not have happened. But as you know and everybody knows, it sure looks like he's going to play on Sunday.
Groats, have a wonderful time in London. Thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time as you go and enjoy the city.
Thank you, Lawrence. Have a great rest of your day.
I will try and do that. That is Mark Grody joining us from London. I'm sorry about the connection. There's nothing we could do about it. Technology, man. It was good, and then it wasn't good. I'm sure that the broadcast will be fine, though. But stuff like that happens. I still thought it was worth it. I will say, I was driving home last night, and I was thinking about the Roquan story. And if you weren't listening to the show yesterday, I started the show by talking about how I had gone – yesterday I had gone to the doctor. I went to go see my gastro just to get, like, blood drawn and get my flu shot and that sort of thing. So I was a little hungry because, you know, I had blood drawn. I hadn't really eaten anything. So I went to go get a cookie. A guy in the line is just kind of like, hey, you know what's going on with Roquan. Why don't you let me in on what's happening? And I'm like, I'm not going to random guy at the store. I'm not going to tell you what I've heard because that would be irresponsible. I will say that I am a bit surprised that this story has stayed relatively quiet. Yes, we are talking about it, and there are people who are covering the team that are trying to find out more about why this happened, and I understand why they're trying to find out. It's bizarre that it happened. And the people that are texting me, yes, all of those things that you think that you know, the little secret that you know that you saw on Twitter about why Roquan might not have played, I am aware of all of those. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to talk about all of those because I can't prove any of them. And if I can't prove any of them or have sources that can speak on it, then I think that it's unfair to Roquan to then use the platform of the airways to talk about those things. I also think that there's in some cases it could lead to people getting sued, but that's just me on some litigious broadcasting type stuff.
Is there a level of journalism that we shouldn't go to in 2019?
Interesting question, Tony. Could you be more specific, please?
This has been one of the more tight-lipped things. Like, usually everything leaks. Everything leaks about everybody. But this certain situation, nobody has said anything. And that leads me to believe that maybe in the end, we're all still human. Is there, no matter if they're celebrity or is there spaces that we shouldn't be allowed into?
I don't like the idea of there being a gatekeeper to keep us out of those. I think that the question is probably a moral one. Do we have should we exercise more caution when we are talking about things that are happening from a personal nature? I think the answer to that question, Tony, is yes. But the flip side of this for me is oftentimes if there is something that is personal that a player or coach triumphs over, then the team will often use that as a way to promote said person going forward. Like, this guy has overcome so much. I'll give you a case.
Something. Pagano.
Sure. You can use Chuck Strong. You know, Chuck overcoming cancer and that being a rallying cry for his team and them keeping the light on in his office and things of that nature. Now, is it different because Pagano felt comfortable enough to share or the organization felt a responsibility to explain, well, this is why the coach isn't here. If you're wondering why, you know, Bruce Arians is coaching the Colts, it's because And Pagano would have to sign off on that. You can't just be like, well, he's got cancer. So unless he would say that it's okay. Yes, I do think that there are spaces that for me are uncomfortable for us to delve into. But for me, the line is when covering a team, specifically in sports, the line is, does it affect the team? And in this case, it does. Now, that's not everybody's line. That's not the line that the score necessarily has or the Trib or whomever. If something is happening with someone and it affects the team, I think it then becomes newsworthy. I also think that how you then go about finding out and reporting the news is that there needs to be an ethical way that you then go about doing it. And for me, the ethical line is, yeah, all that stuff that you saw on Twitter, I've heard it, I've seen it, I've had it sent to me. But I don't think that there's very good ethical ground for us to stand on, for us to go, well, you know, it might be this, or it might be this, because we don't know, and there are not enough people talking about it that I trust to go with it. And that's where I do think that people who usually end up being reporters like a mystery and like the idea of digging. I was dealing with this on Sunday night. Sunday night, some stuff got sent to me, and I said, do I want to go down this rabbit hole again? Of, well, now I've got to call this person or this office or this or this. I just didn't have it in me. And there are other people here whose job it is to do that. But your bigger question, Tony, I think is a really relevant one. There's a great line on the Jazzy Jeff album. It's give us social media to sell ourselves to saturate in a saturated market. And I think because everyone is so much closer to the people that they entertain or fans of a team or whatever, that there is a feeling that everything is fair game. And I do think that there need to be firewalls put up in that regard. Now, the Bears are doing it. And you hear Matt Nagy saying, I respect that you guys have a job to do. I hope that you will respect me in not asking me these questions. I respect him overall, but considering that this has an impact on the team and could have an impact, I want to ask the question. Now, the other part of this is, do you have to ask the question in a press conference setting? Sometimes, yes. Sometimes you want to get things on the record, and that's the only way to do it. Preferably, every one of those reporters would rather know and maybe not say than not know. I'd much rather, like when we talk about the idea of the double back in a locker room, sometimes the best stuff that you're going to get is stuff that is not said while the recorder is on. Like you're going to talk with someone and you can use all of the this is on background or this is off the record, like all of those things if you want. I'd rather have the information than have to feel like I have to say something at a press conference. And I know that I used to be the guy that would put Lovie Smith on blast at press conferences. But the reason that I did that is because he was not offered to me outside of a press conference setting. If I made a request to talk with Lovie about something specific that I wasn't necessarily going to air, I just wanted to know it to be better at my job. If you keep hitting a wall where you don't get that access, then you go, okay, well, I'll ask it publicly. And maybe you don't want to answer that question publicly, but I was trying to not ask that question publicly. But to your bigger point, yes, some of these things probably should be out of bounds. And it's up to every organization and every reporter to then figure out where they stand ethically on that. Yeah, and it's not uniform. And that's why I get mad when people treat media as a monolith. Not every company has the same ethical standards. Not every person that is inside of a company have the same ethical standards. Now, I do think that there are some things that should be standardized, but I also think in a lot of cases the genie is out of the bottle.
Yeah, because the more I think about it is, it's like we're dealing with these people's, you know, like in very important, as they said, you know, personal stuff. And the more it happens, the more I realize, like, the public can't be trusted with these people's, you know, vulnerabilities, you know? It's like, do we deserve those parts?
Well, okay, let's take an example from the Bears, from this team. Trey Burton has been very transparent about his issues with anxiety. And what happens every time Trey Burton is not available to play in a game? People will reflexively just say, oh, he's got anxiety. He's not mentally tough. It's a slippery slope, man. It is. Everyone has to kind of figure out their own way as far as where they feel they are on ethical and moral ground. Some people don't care.
Yeah, I get it. It's difficult because it's supposed to be simple. They're supposed to play. I'm supposed to enjoy it on my television. But when you add these other elements to it, because of the closeness now that we have to these teams and to these players, it makes it harder now to enjoy it. When I have to watch all this is the life stuff, not mixed in with my entertainment stuff.
Right, but the mixing in is part of the reason that it's grown too. Like, let's not act as if that the teams and the leagues are not complicit in this. They want to manage their message. That's why the Bears have an Instagram account. That's why they have a Twitter account and a YouTube page. They want to show you, they want to take you inside. Like, really, like, go and inspect what it is that they put up on their accounts when it comes to players. They want you to get to know the player so that you invest in the player. And I just wonder, should that investment in the player stop just because they say, oh, no, you can invest this far, but you can't invest any farther than that. You can comment on Mitch wearing a cowboy hat on our Instagram page or Akeem Hicks having a dog or whatever it is. But when stuff gets real and there's something that matters as the team is getting ready to play an important game and a player is not available, then it's no. We'll tell you when it's okay. There's so many larger issues here with this, and it's hard to unravel. And I get the fan that's like, guys, this doesn't matter. Until you come up to me in a grocery store and say, why isn't Roquan Smith playing? And then it matters to you. I appreciate the discussion, Tony. That's a great question by you. Take a break. Back after this on The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This segment is being brought to you by Nutrisystem. For men, see how simple losing weight can be with Nutrisystem. The meals come to your door. You eat the food and lose the weight. Order at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see the website for details. A lot of people saying, look, the team, it's about the team. As we were having this journalistic and ethical discussion, let me just say this. If you want to get your Bears news from just the Bears, you can. But I think that if you're someone who's listening to this radio station or consuming the Chicago Tribune or Sun Times or The Athletic or wherever it is that you get your Bears information, the reason that you're doing that is because you know that there is an element of propaganda that goes along with the team being able to dictate the terms of what is and what is not news. That is the importance of the media. That does not mean that the media has been derelict in their duties in doing the job ethically. But I think in its essence, the reason why free media should exist is so that if you would like to know more without it being spun to you by the people who are making the news, that's the role that the media is supposed to play. You can choose. You can choose your adventure. And if your adventure takes you to just ChicagoBears.com, that's fine. But there's going to be more in the way of, hopefully, the goal is that there's more in the way of an honest relationship with information that goes on from the media side. And I, like, for example, I could do this show if you guys just wanted to hear all the things that are great that the team is saying about the team. Because here's the thing. They're never going to say anything bad. Because their job is to sell themselves to you. And I get that you feel that there is a connection with the team and you think that the relationship is reciprocal. It isn't. They say it is because that's good. Like, that's good business. They're going to have the fan festival and you're going to get a signed autograph from someone because it's good for business. It keeps you watching. But it doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to get the truth. And our job is ideally to work to try and get the truth. It's important to me that that's done at a particular ethical standard that I often am frustrated with that it doesn't always happen that way. And that's a globalized statement. I'm not talking about how people cover sports in Chicago. I'm talking about how all of us do our jobs in media, capital M. All right. I guess class is done for today because Matt Spiegel is here. And he wants to talk about the White Sox. Well, actually,
I'm pretty sure he doesn't want to talk about the White Sox.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. But I enlisted him to talk about the White Sox. So that's what we're going to do, probably. And then maybe other stuff. Maybe we'll talk about music, too, because we could do that. So wait, I bring up White Sox, and then you don't have it? Like, we've been doing this whole bit, and now... We'll try to keep believing. The new sports book at Ameristar East Chicago is now open. It's located just inside the entrance to the casino. With 12 betting kiosks, you can make bets without waiting. While you're there, sign up for the My Choice Loyalty Program. When you show your betting slip, you will receive $10 towards a stadium or table game bet. Always bet on black. I'm going to talk with Matt Spiegel about the White Sox next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.